This is in the Holy Letters in volume 4. This is letter number 988. And this is dated the 25th day of Nissan, Tavshin Aleph in Brooklyn, New York. Peace and blessing. Which means like this. So the Rebbe says like this. In generally, the Rebbe says, our sages tell us the many things that we don't have a choice in. So it says, one of the things, he says, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice to be born or not. You were born, right? That's one of the things. But it enumerates a whole bunch of things which is against your will. Another choice, another thing that we don't have a choice is that it's against your will that you live. If you decide, like, no, I don't want to live anymore, it's not up to you. You can't, it's not something you can make a decision. Which means to say, basically, what does it mean that you have to live? Life is not always a pleasurable, it's not a constant row of pleasures or even matters that are always satisfying, relaxing, or even light pain. Sometimes, the Rebbe says, you know, there's even more. There's some serious pains. Life is such that it brings you various different situations which you are not in control. And you can't just say, okay, I don't want to live with that. That's it. It doesn't help. That's part of life, is that you have no choice. So you have to say to yourself, and you have to repeat it continuously, ingrain it in your brain strongly and continuously, that against your will you live, which means that whatever God has done is for the good. You have to convince yourself that whatever Hashem has done is for the good. Also, the Rebbe is referencing a place. So the Rebbe says, we see in actuality that to a certain extent, and in a great extent, the impression of what happens to you in your life is dependent on the person himself. Even the negative things that happen in your life, the trauma, the pain, the suffering, the extent of how painful things are, to a certain degree depends on the person, how sharp, how you accept them, and how you react to them. He says, take a look, the Rebbe says, who do we need to use as an example? The Rambam. That his external life of the Rambam were full with troubles, various different painful situations, and terrible tragedies, may God protect us, which was beyond the normal. That's what the Rambam, Maimonides, what he suffered. And yet, what was his outlook about life? What did he say of life in general? So as you take a look in his books, which is called The Guide for the Perplexed, he says he was a very good outlook. He was a very optimistic look at the world and at life. But on the other hand, you see, there were many, many people who externally, when you looked at them, they looked very successful. They looked like they got everything going for them. No problems in their life at all. And yet, it was only at rare occasions that you saw any satisfaction in their life. They were always miserable. They never happy. They looked like they had success, everything. So on one hand, you have the Rambam on one extreme, who suffered tremendously with all kinds of things, and he had a very optimistic look at life. And on the other hand, you have somebody who's successful, and it's just most of the time they're unhappy. I mean, only occasionally they're happy. So this difference that is in the nature of people, is a support for this, comes from the teaching of the Hasidus, to help along. To have this positive attitude is from the teaching of the Hasidus. The Rebbe said that still, from the Baal Shem Tov, they announced, very important part, you gotta serve God with joy, with happiness. So, it's so important to serve God with joy, that even at the time when a person is sort of repenting to Hashem, he's remorse, he has regret, he feels bad at what he did, even that, if a person did something wrong, and he knows that he did wrong, he knows that he sinned, and yet, it does not contradict to also finding joy in it also. So you may be, as he says, on one side, you may be bitter about your situation, but on the other side, you also are happy and you're also joyful for the opportunities that you have and for all the good that God has given to you. Especially those matters that aren't dependent on you. There's certain things happen to you. So this is talking about certain negative things. Maybe you're the cause of them. Maybe you are the one that caused your problems. So even then, but sometimes there's things that happen in your life which you have nothing to do with you. You didn't choose those things. So certainly, the teaching of Chassidus gives you the opportunity to find within them, also rationally, in the human intellect, some side of joy, or at least to some correction of the matters that has passed. So, in other words, maybe a difficulty in your life or something that's happening to you, if you see that that helped you sort of become a better person, or maybe it brought you closer to God, it brought you more. So notwithstanding that the difficulty remains a difficulty, it remains a challenge, and it's very upsetting, but still you have an underpinning of also some joy. You say, oh, but at least now I feel part of a community. At least now I feel part closer to God. I feel like I'm getting some meaning in life. I feel like there's, you know, I have, you know, some other friends. I feel there's other things in the world. So you take some of the negative that you experience and then you try to find something good, something positive in what's happened. Because what's happened, whether it's a death in the family, whether it's other difficulties, this is not in your control. That God did. But you try to find something good. And also for correction, maybe of things of the past. So that should diminish in a great matter, to a great degree, the feeling of bitterness and the emotionally, and also without saying the depression, which come through these events that take place, that should help the person overcome. I mean, some good psychology over here that the Rebbe is advising in difficult circumstances. The Rebbe points further to the Tanya in chapter 26. Over there he talks about that sometimes God's kindness comes hidden through, in the revealed way it looks like bad, but it's really a hidden as good. And the Rebbe says, we've been already promised in the books of our sages of blessed memory, and also in the Geres Kodesh Simuchav Beis, that then, when you actually get the message or you feel with joy, so also Hashem, quoting there, will give the good, will show you his countenance to you in a revealed love that in the beginning it was dressed up and hidden. Openly it was rebuke, and the stringency will be sweetened in the root, and there will be all the judgments will be removed. It's like a father who rebukes a child or punishes the child, so that once it's also the father punishes his child, he doesn't punish somebody else's child. Why? Because he loves his child. He's trying to educate his child. Somebody else's child is somebody else's business. But yet, if he's disciplining him, he's denying him, or he's behaving with him in a harsh way, the child takes it as rejection. It takes it as a negative. It takes it as the father doesn't love me. But that's not true. The father really loves him. But that's a love which is expressed in negative, in discipline, in rejection. But the Hashem, what?
Tough love.
Tough love. So, but after that, it's revealed, once you get the message, the open love, so that it's not going to be anymore, the love is going to be love in a kind, in a gentle, and in an accepting way. So the Rebbe says, notwithstanding the fact that we heard from my father, the Rebbe, in one of his sikhs, what he wrote so in the beginning, he says over there, it's like a father, he gives the example, it's like a father who has tremendous pity, who beats his son, or a tzaddik who beats his son. I mean, here, no, today we don't beat him, but I'm saying psychologically, it could be beating them up, you know, by disciplining them and not giving in to all their whims what they want. So he says, he explained, over here it doesn't say chosid, it just says a father who is a chocham and a tzaddik. And like he said, he says, because when a father beats a son, even though it's from the hidden love, but you can't call him a chassid. In other words, even Hashem, when Hashem beats up on us, so to speak, we don't refer to God as a chassid at that time. Chassid means a righteous, beyond righteous. Okay, you got to do. In other words, if a father got to beat up on you, he got to do that. He got to do what he got to do. But you're not going to say that that expresses his full capacity of love, even though it has to come out in sometimes through strength, through discipline. So, Rebbe says like this, it's understood that all the above is not, God forbid, that I'm trying to give you musar, which means rebuke you. Further, it's very difficult to say this to somebody else, what he says. Because I know what you've gone through. Now, I don't know what the Rebbe is referring to, but this person had a lot of tzaras, I guess, and the Rebbe says, I know that when you know what somebody else has gone through, you cannot give a person rebuke and tell them, you know what, do it this. But I'm not here to rebuke or anything. I'm just coming to instruct, to teach you some matters from our holy, from the Torah, that maybe would make it easier for you to carry your load and to sort of relax your spirit, to be able to make you feel better, at least somewhat, the Rebbe says, until the full promise that is written in the letter, that may the good God give good, should shine his countenance to you, that you have everything that you need. And I'm sure you will let me know when you will have some changes for improvements, and all the above is especially when you have something good to news in either one or in several from the above mentioned. And the Rebbe blesses him with settling properly very soon. And you can just imagine, I mean, this is after the Holocaust. I can just imagine maybe it was a person that lost all his family. Maybe they lost, you know, somebody, people lost all their children, their wives and their parents and everything. One person survived the Holocaust. I mean, it's unimaginable, the pain, the devastation, the horror that these people experienced. And it's kind of hard to console, give them words of comfort and to be able to. And the Rebbe writes it over here, which I find it, in my capacity as a rabbi, having to deal with people sometimes who lose and have tragedies in their families and loss, you find it very hard to find the right words and the right expressions to tell people when they're in pain, really. You know, like one thing, you know, that the Mishnah says, you can't do words of comfort when the deceased is in front of him or when he's in pain. You know, you can't even appease your friend when he's angry. You have to wait till it subsides a little bit. You can't start using words of comfort right away and saying, it's actually insensitive if you don't give a person a chance to mourn or give them a chance to deal with their feelings, with their emotions. But at the end of the day, you know, as a rabbi or as any individual, you do want to help the person by easing their pain a little bit, by giving them some strength, giving them some words of comfort, and you know, and the, as you see, the Rebbe says, I'm just, what the Rebbe says that he's trying to do is just trying to help and give the person a little word. There's a story that I once heard that there was a person that suffered a great loss, and the rabbi was giving him a whole big drasha, you know, how, you know, God is good, and, you know, trying to help him. And then all of a sudden he got noticed, the rabbi, that his own child was in an accident, and he totally lost it. So they asked him, they said, but you just was giving all these wonderful words, you know, what about things? He says, when it hits home, it's a different story, you know, I mean, it's one thing. But what do? I mean, you know, you sympathize with the other person, you identify with their pain, and you just don't say anything, but you have to try, and you have to pray that you have the right words and the right ideas to say. Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe a good approach is just to let let that person talk. Give them the ability to say whatever they need to say and get, you know, and process the pain that way, and save the rest of it for, you know, at another point in time, yeah, long after the fact.
That's precisely what the Mishnah says, that don't, at the time that he's done, you have to just, you know, back off a little bit. But on the other hand, it's not always in cases like that, you know, like many times people experience even like a financial loss, you know, people that were, you know, well-to-do, say, and then all of a sudden they find themselves in a financial difficulties, and, you know, and they fall into a depression, they fall in, you know, because maybe somebody who's not been at that scale, at that level, maybe doesn't care so much. But if you've been there and then you've fallen from grace, you know, I mean, you can, you have to see, you have to think, you know, sometimes you see people who are, you know, honorable people and respectful people, then all of a sudden, you know, they totally fall now. So when somebody says, you know, what am I going to do? You know that joke with the... this fellow, he used to be a wealthy man, and he'd always come to the rabbi once a year with nice check, a nice sum of money for the rabbi's, you know, charities, and 1 year he comes to the rabbi, he's crying bitterly, his bad investments, bad things, he had a turn, you know, turn of the luck turned against him, and he lost everything, and now he can't pay his bills, and he's promised so many people, and there's other people depending on him, and he's miserable. So so the rabbi says to him, look, he says that, you know, I'll tell you what to do. He says, I'll tell you what to do. He says, go out to the store and buy a beach chair, he says, and take a Psalms and open up the Psalms and let the wind blow the pages of the Psalms, and wherever it lands, the wind lands in the page, it'll open up, do that Psalms, and God will help you, God should help you. Okay. Goes by a year, the guy is back, now he's dressed with all his family, with a double-vested suit, and he's looking, big envelope stuff with cash. Rabbi, your advice, your blessing, I'm a rich man again. The rabbi says, really? He says, what happened? Tell me, did you? He said, I followed exactly what you did. You go to the beach? Yeah, you bought a beach chair? Yeah. You went to the other? Yeah. So the rabbi says, which page did it land on? He says, chapter 11. So